On this Friday afternoon, we're joined by Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible to talk about the weather forecast. Thanks, Eric, for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about near-term patterns first. Maybe we should start with the snow and the cold in the Northwest.
Yeah, it was certainly a week where we saw the arrival of winter. I was talking to some of my friends in Canada, and they're talking about having temperatures that are very reminiscent of like mid-February. We've let a lot of that cold air out across the northern tier of the United States as well. So from Montana through parts of the Dakotas over to Minnesota and Wisconsin, we've now got a pretty good blanket of snow down. And that even includes that interesting shot of snow early in the week that went through parts of Nebraska, right across eventually in central Iowa, like Des Moines to Cedar Rapids, where some places got like 9 inches of snow in a narrow band. And so it feels as though winter has really made its arrival here in that part of the country. And we do have a pretty powerful front that's slowly moving its way through the midsection of the U.S., which is what's given the chance for rain today across the state of Illinois. So we have some much colder air on the backside of it, and it is going to go run north-south right across the United States, getting that cold air all the way down deep into Texas. And sometimes, just to let you know this, the temperatures compared to normal are up to 40 degrees colder than normal at times behind these cold fronts that are sweeping through. So yeah, this is it's another one of those years where it feels like we just went from one season straight to the next and skipped the in-between one.
Yeah, well, that slide, you can feel it happening today, man.
Yeah.
This morning was really nice. I walked early this morning, sunshine, blue skies. It was clear out, and she turned gray, and it's going to get cold pretty fast, I think. So I do have some questions about that, because we have harvest left to happen, not only here in Illinois, but in the rest of the Corn Belt as well. And then there's some fall field work that needs to take place, and farmers would like to have better conditions than not to pull that off. What do you see?
Yeah, well, the better conditions are going to have to start with actually giving us a little bit of moisture, right? We've been very, very dry around here. So we do need some moisture coming in. And yeah, there's some rain spreading across the state today. But then as the week goes on, we are going to be seeing better chances of seeing some precipitation throughout the next week as well. Now, with that, we also need to get the soil temperatures down a little bit. And we're starting to get our early morning 4-inch soil temperatures down there in the right range. So getting there close to that 50 degree mark. But with the recent warm-ups we've had, like yesterday, Thursday, hitting low 80s, you know, that's going to really crank those temperatures back up. Well, with the changes we just discussed, it's going to become, I think, a better situation, especially than what we had in 18 and 19, to actually get some of that fall application on. And so I think we're going to have a nice window that's going to open up here where the temperatures are going to behave. And I think we're going to have the right amount of moisture, not too much and not too little, to hopefully get that kind of field work done as we finish this month of October and start to get into November.
On that too little note, I've been concentrating on wheat and lots of growing regions across the planet, because it's just not fared very well in 2020, and it looks like that's going to continue, or at least has for a while, especially in our hard red winter wheat growing regions. What do we know about the southern plains at this time?
Well, they've been extremely dry, as you know. In some places in the southern plains, I can find up to 60 days that it's been since there's been precipitation. So we have a very unique thing happening right now in the atmosphere, and that sweeping through the Pacific Northwest today is a trough that's actually going to become cut off. So you can just imagine the whole flow of the jet stream, you know, it meanders north and south. Well, occasionally, kind of like a river does, it pinches off a piece of it, and it kind of just sits off to the side. That's what's going to happen. And that's going to go through Nevada, eventually to Arizona, New Mexico, and then emerge in the Southern Plains, bringing them the first real chance of precipitation I've seen in a while. And you are right. Hard red winter wheat around the world has been hit hard, right? The Black Sea region, just the eastern side of Ukraine, the Southern Russian wheat belt. We're talking there about regions that have received between 5 and 20% of normal rainfall for the last couple of months. And then don't forget, we had a hard freeze event, a late one, in Argentina, and we're getting reports that it really damaged their wheat crop there as well. That'd be the same as us getting a really nasty freeze in like Kansas in April. And so this has been a season here where the last couple of months has really hit winter wheat across the world.
Yeah, I know you've been watching South America in general. Anything else that we should be worried about or of note? I'm guessing that is the case.
Yeah, so South America, of course, has been very dry. We've, of course, delayed the planting, and I think most people listening in on this know that the delays there are putting them at the slowest pace looking back, gosh, about 10 years. So the rains are now coming on with a vengeance. We're going to be getting quite a bit of precipitation here in the next 10 to 20 days, and it's going to be very wet across Brazil's northern growing regions, including Mato Grosso, while it's going to go over dry in southern Brazil and at times in parts of Argentina. Now, as we think about that, the heavy rains coming in, I had a good talk with some folks about what that's going to mean. I said, is that going to slow them down? And he said, you know what, the way the rain is timed with it coming so late in the afternoon, they do a bunch of field work in the morning, the rain comes in, and by the next morning, it's already drained and they go again. So the only problem would be if we have a day-long rainfall event. And I do see some of that happening, but the damage has kind of been done here. And I think the bigger picture is, as this bean crop goes in, how delayed is it going to be coming out in January and February? And that's going to be critical. So I'll tell you one thing I'm studying this week, and I hope we get to talk about next week, okay? I'm studying what makes for dry Aprils in Brazil, because that's normally a month where the monsoon's slowing down, and it's usually done by May. But if they get normal monsoonal rains in April, they finish their safrinha corn really well. Well, there have been years where, because of certain factors, La Niña being one of them, that if the if things are not normal and they're dry, it hammers on those yields for the safrinha corn. And I think that's something you and I should start talking about now. So we got a nice, 7-month lead up to when it actually happens.
I love it. We'll have a 7-month lead and then we can say we were right. But if we're wrong, we just won't talk about it.
Sounds good. You're ready to become a meteorologist there, Todd. You got it down.
Hey, thank you so much. Before I go, have you thought about what the winter looks like here in the United States?
Yeah, we've been putting a lot of things together. And to be honest, La Niña seems to dominate the picture. And at that point, I really echo kind of what the National Weather Service is showing now. And that is cool across the northern tier of the U.S., a lot of clipper systems, probably warmth and drought across the southern part of the U.S., which is something I don't want to have to be talking about. Here's the thing, though. La Niña is only one part of the whole flow. The things that we can't forecast that are long-term, but just can't, they're sub-seasonal, would be like fluctuations in the polar vortex, and you know what that does. Things like the East Pacific Oscillation and the North Atlantic Oscillation, and all those two words mean here, those phrases just mean how wavy the jet stream gets at certain times. Because often what defines a winter is those one-off events that really come through and change things. But the good news is that temperatures this winter, I do expect them to get cold, which is what we need. And also, I don't anticipate across the Corn Belt there to be any wintertime drought issues that we're going to be worried about for spring. Now, that is not the case for California, the four corners of the Southern Plains. It's just the Corn Belt. I'm not worried about drought surviving winter.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible.